This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that's all about the sights, the sounds, the scenes, and on Tuesdays, the listeners. This week, we have a few comments, not a ton this week, so this should be quick, which is really good for me. Get back into my theater, enjoy some more content, a little bit more on that in a little bit. But first up, we have Omar Delgado followed me on Twitter. Thank you, Omar. And if I am not mistaken, you followed me before, didn't you, Omar? Or did you go away and get a new Twitter account? But I recognized the name and it came up during the week. Omar followed you. And I was like, I thought he already was. But okay. Welcome back if you left or whatever happened. Thanks for following along. And also thank you to all of my patrons, Patreon supporters over there on patreon.com. If you would like to join them in supporting the podcast monetarily, you can go to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater and you can donate once a month. They take I think it's the beginning of the month. Actually, I know it's the beginning of the month because today is, as I'm recording this, today is the first. And I just had the money taken from me for all the patrons that I support. So there you go. On the first of the month, they take the money from you and they give most of it to me if you donate to me and then a little for themselves. But yeah, absolutely not necessarily, but greatly appreciated. Goes towards putting this pot, even though, you know, I'm buying Illumigen and I'm buying stuff for my theater, but it goes to everything goes directly back into the podcast, whether it be the computers, the software, or even just providing, you know, paying out for the programs that I use, because those I'm on a monthly thing for like Adobe and stuff like that. So really appreciate it. But like I said, not necessary. This is one of my hobbies and I paid for it to start and I keep paying for it anyway. So thank you very much to everybody that supports monetarily over on Patreon. Really appreciate it. And thank you to everybody on Twitter as well. Great conversations over there, to the point that I got to kind of filter some of these out because the show would be like 2 hours long if I mentioned everything that I talked about over there. So really, if you want to follow along over there, a lot of fun. And had a great discussion with Todd Anderson, and that podcast will be coming out next week. This week's podcast is going to be my anniversary podcast with my buddy John from Brightside Chat, and we talk some Star Wars, we talk home theater. John has made a mistake. It's an honest mistake. It's a funny one, and we had a good laugh, a good chuckle about it when it happened. But it's something that I think that could probably happen to anybody, so that's why we wanted to talk about it. So we go over that on Friday. Kind of basically are a little bit of a history. If you listen to HT guys, they did their history, which is way more substantial than my history. But John and I reminisced a bit about when we started and how I started home theater and how he's been into home theater just as long as I have. So our anniversary chat that I do every year. And of course we talk Star Wars too and the movies and home theater and all that. So that's coming up this Friday. I have Todd Anderson already recorded. That's coming out the following Friday. I have another interview lined up for the week after that. And I also have another interview, which I think you guys will find pretty special, for the week after that. So looks like November is the week of interviews. But I got to tell you, I am having a lot of fun with it. I am jonesing to get a movie out to you guys, though. I'm like dying to do. I sat down. I'm watching movies. I'm stamping them. I may sneak one in, but I don't want to make any promises because I'm enjoying this. I'm like, I'm ahead of the game. I'm having fun, and it's just so much fun. Enjoying tons of content. Before we get into all of the comments, what am I watching? I am watching The Foundation. That was the inspiration for the Lumigen in the first place because it looked so good anyways, and I knew some things were crushing, and I was like, I got to improve this. Blown away. Absolutely enjoying that. Love the story, too. John texted me last week, and he said, have you checked this out? And it's called Another Life on Netflix. It's a sci-fi show. It just started its second season. It stars Katie Sackhoff from Battlestar Galactica fame. And absolutely love that show as well. It's a lot of fun. And it has great surround sound. I am 5 episodes into that one, into the first season. And the surround sound in that is so much fun. It's like, very enveloping. It's got Atmos, very enveloping, very active all around. It's science fiction, but there's some music issue dealing with it. Think Close Encounters type stuff going on in there. So I'm really enjoying that, as well as the show. Oh, what the heck is the name of it? It's on Apple TV Plus. Invasion. This show, John and I talked about it on our other podcast. This show here has great picture, great HDR, great sound, but it's a little slower and it's purposeful. And I really, really enjoy that show too. And again, just like I said, Foundation every Friday. I can't wait for that. And just bouncing around and enjoying tons and tons of content, watching the movies. Watch Dune again. Really enjoyed that, obviously. So I'm just having a lot of fun in my theater. And let's get to some of these comments here. All right. First off, well, we're going to start off. We're going back in time here. Steve George, at Legal Beagle, okay. At Brightside HT, worth a place in the home theater section on the site, DJ? Just kidding. And he sent 4 pictures of his... He says, just came across these pics of hashtag CinemaGeorgeMK2 circa 2000, truly geek nirvana. And of course, this is the audio only podcast, so I'll just describe it. It's like, basically, it's just shelves of DVD movies, a 36-inch TV, 36-inch CRT TV. And he put out another tweet saying it took him 4 guys to carry that thing in. And it's so funny. It looked like a video game system underneath, or maybe that's his Blu-ray player. Blu-ray didn't even have Blu-ray. His DVD player. Sorry about that. But it's hysterical. It's exactly what we all had back in the 90s into the 2000s. And it's just funny to go back in time. And I had a 32-inch, and that's all I could afford, and I couldn't wait. I went from 32 to my 65, and I'll talk a little bit more about that in a few minutes. But yeah, fantastic. It's fun to go. I keep asking my wife, I go, I know we have pictures of our living room. I'm dying to come across them. They're up in the attic somewhere. Pictures of the living room when I first, back my first home theater that I had in an apartment. And I know I have pictures of my theater from when we first moved in as well. And I can't find those either, but this is all before iPhones and you didn't have them permanently digitized into your phone. So I have to go find the hard copies that I actually went to the photo mat and actually got developed. All right. Theo talking about last week's Takeover Tuesday. Great show. Thank you, Theo. That was a tweet. And then he also commented that Theo also says, a fun show. I was thinking about that video processor. Now you made my decision for me. No Zapedi for me, but we'll go with that Lumigen. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's if you have to choose between a media server and a Lumigen or a video processor like a Lumigen, I don't know what else there would be. Definitely, I highly recommend the Lumigen before any of that because it's going to, you don't need a Zapedi. You don't need a Kaleidoscape. Honestly, in my opinion, with a projector, you need a projector. I mean, you need a Lumigen. again, you don't need it. It's still a good image, but if you want to improve it, and that's why I'm glad my buddy Jim jumped on it, and he was like, I heard I was going with the Kaleidoscape eventually, and he's like, you should do the Lumigen first. That's kind of what pushed it to the front. And he's absolutely right. I'd rather be putting discs in right now and having that great picture, but I do enjoy my Zapedi, and it enables me to the Zapedi actually enables me to do this podcast a lot easier too. You don't need it, but actually the Lumigen, you'll see if you can get one, Theo, you'll see. You'll be like, how did I live without this thing? Okay. Mark V says, tell Tom I love The Crow 2, the only movie I saw so many times in the theater that I had to continue watching at the Dollar Theater, LOL. And he sent that before the podcast came out. We had actually recorded that podcast since then, but I forwarded your message on to him. BJ Horton, 2005, says, thanks for the amazing explanation. That was more than I had hoped for. Now, what was this Lumigen model exactly? I think I'm seeing a few, and whoa, the price. Ha ha. Well, it sounds like it's a good investment in the final stretch of home theater without going overboard. And I replied to that tweet, and I said, yes, the price is high, and it is definitely a final stretch of home theater type item. It's when you're getting down into when you're talking media servers, or you think you've got everything where it should be. Then you do something like this. To the point that I had the conversation with somebody, I don't know if it was Todd or John or somebody, talking about, I recommend getting a projector and living with your projector for a little while. And like I did, and I had mine for 2 years before I got the Lumigen. And not that I didn't plan it that way. It's just, you know, things come up, this podcast, people talk to me, and I'm like, hey, let's check that out. But I do recommend going that direction, because then you learn what it's like. You learn what you're getting your money, you know, what your money is doing when you invest in something like that. If you just went and bought everything all at once, you don't get to appreciate the transition and the upgrades, and you don't really get to learn what these things are doing. And for somebody like me that learns way more by hands-on than I do by talking and listening and reading, I'm not very good. It's hard for me to comprehend. And once getting this piece of equipment in and seeing what it does, my conversations, I had long conversation with Rob H, and I had, even before I got it, we went back and forth about the benefits and what, you know, what it does and what I don't need it to do. And then my projector guy, Jim, telling me, you know, this is what it's going to do. And it's like, I can't wrap my mind around it, but I trust these people. So then I go and do it, and now I understand. And now I even understand HDR better. I have analogies in my head that makes way more sense to me. And seeing what it does, and seeing, it's like, don't let people tell you that a projector can't do what an OLED can do. And I said this to Rob, who loves OLEDs, who loves to have that HDR from an OLED. And he admitted the same thing. He said to me, he goes, yeah, you're probably right. You're right. It doesn't get as bright as an OLED or a standard panel TV, my projector that is, but because of the software that's in that Lumigen, the processing that's going on in that piece of hardware, I'm getting the gradation. I'm getting the steps in gradation that you would get in an OLED. So it's not that projectors can't do it. It's that it's crazy money to put that. You can't put that kind of software into a projector. It's better to have it off board. And if you want it, you can have it. And then that's the way you go. And it really is amazing to me. Really, really is. So a little bit, maybe more on that. I don't know. Cause I know I talked to John about it. I talked to Todd about it. And so, yeah, we'll see. All right. Moving on. Derek at Echo4How, one of my best friends, lives, I can throw a rock in his window from here. He says, it was a great listen to the history again. Recalling the trials and tribulations over the years, I certainly got a few chuckles listening. Because Derek's been there. He's helped me with some situations. He's been in, he actually, for a little while in Derek's career, he actually worked for a company that installed not home theaters, but computer lines and stuff like that, all of that stuff. So he's very familiar with this, and we would have, we would brainstorm back and forth on issues that we, that I was having and how to fix things. And yeah, hey, part of home theater is the headaches, and that's what you enjoy. You know, that's what gets you through, and that's how you learn. And I have learned a lot because there have been a lot of headaches, but that's part of the fun. So that's part of the hobby, and I enjoy it. So thanks, Derek, for commenting. Come on over and check out the Lumigen. All right, John Z at Johnny Speakers. He says, at Brightside HT, congrats on the Lumigen purchase. Definitely on the top of my wish list for gear upgrades. Certainly is. It should be. And I, like I said, I cannot recommend it enough. I was talking with somebody the other day, and I can't remember who it was. And I said that it's, if you're, what? Oh, I do know who it was. It was another listener that's helped me out with some other situations. And we were texting back and forth, and he mentioned that I had said to him that I think that with just a projector, you're only getting half the capability of a projector. And he agreed, because what the Lumigen gives you the second half. So then you're off and running. And again, I think that it's best, the best way is that you get that projector, you live with it for a little while, learn how good that looks, whatever, you know, if you get a 4K HDR projector, then you take a step up from there. And actually this listener has a JVC, and the JVC with the tone mapping. And then he said, when you go to the Lumigen, yep, it's a different world. It's a step up. It's just processing there. That's just not going, it's not the same type of tone mapping that a JVC does. It's a little bit more advanced than that. So, but yeah. Anyways, all right, let's move along. I feel bad because I keep talking about that thing, but the Lumigen, but I love it so much. It's again, I asked my son, I go, what do you think is the biggest upgrade? This or any, before I could even finish, he goes, this. And he was there. I'd say 1080 from standard def to 1080p was probably as big of an upgrade. But going from 1080p projector to a 4K projector, he's like, no, this is a bigger step. Taking my 4K projector and adding the Lumigen is a bigger step than going from a 1080p projector to a 4K HDR projector. So I agree, but I wanted to ask him without any kind of coaxing or anything. And before I could finish, he goes, this is the biggest step you've done that he can remember. He doesn't really remember going from, you know, standard definition to high def, but I would say it's maybe on par with that. I might even put it ahead of it, but I don't know if that's recency bias. So, all right. Martin Anderson. Hey, Brightside HT, not to go on a car audio rant. I was quote unquote that guy who had a car to audio cost ratio of 1 to 10 and put 100 pounds of sound treatment into it. I think it trails the thing we go through to get good sound. Oh, the trials, I think it trails you the thing we go through to get good sound, but it, be it car or HT or something else. I'm not really sure what that was, Martin. I'm sorry, buddy. I was like, when I read it live, I replied to him. But yes, I do remember the sound treatment for your car and Dynamat. And I looked it up. They still make it. They're still making it. So people are still getting into car audio. And then speaking of that, I'll touch on this a little bit. Carl emailed us was it an email or a tweet, Carl, about Atmos Sound going into the cars. And I think it was Dolby Atmos Sound or something like that going into the cars and they were going into the high-end Mercedes car, like, you know, the Maybachs and stuff. Very expensive cars, but they're starting to get it. And now what I'm wondering is, like, with Apple earpods and stuff, can AirPods do sound, like, instead of sound absorption in the car, add in the Dolby Atmos in the car, but also add in the noise cancellation. If you can do that in the car, have it be able to be tuned so that you can't hear the outside noise and it's just all Dolby Atmos sound, I'm back in. And I even said in my reply to him, I said, well, it looks like I'm getting back into the car audio rabbit hole someday. Maybe that'll be my retirement when I'm not working anymore and I'll get back into car audio again. Because by then, what's going into these high-end Mercedes will probably be down to the masses and we'll be able to be getting the Atmos in the car with noise cancellation. But I don't know how much noise can, because it's kind of a safety thing. You want to be able to hear what's going on outside the car. Because if you can't hear anything, you know, if somebody beeps their horn, you can't have your sound system noise canceling it out. That wouldn't be safe. So, but yeah, car audio, and that's one of the things I said to Martin. I go, I kind of got out of it because it's like, you realize you're pumping all this money into it and it's such a crappy environment, you know, it's not really conducive for good audio because you got road noise and everything. But I know the Dynamat stuff. I did a little bit of it underneath my seats and stuff and the floorboards. I did a little bit in there and it made a difference, but I mean, you can still hear it. You can, especially back then, I didn't have a really expensive car. I had a Chevy Beretta, which was really nice. I liked that car, but they're not very well solidly made, you know. There's still sound coming in. Next up. Oh, this was a tweet of the week from me. Hashtag dork at dork podcast. Remember those guys that I was telling you about a few months ago or a month or so ago? They were trying to get to 1,000 followers on YouTube, and you guys were awesome. You followed them along. Well, Rich Keefe, one of the hosts of the show, he's the one that runs the Twitter feed. He says, at Brightside HT, DJ looking to beef up the Dragon's Lair. It's not the perfect location for a badass home theater, but it's closed off and currently have a 65-inch 4K TV. Do you recommend a soundbar? Something else? Thanks. So I contacted Rich and we talked. And it was, he's like, I don't want to spend a lot of money, but I may want to invest. And I laughed because I said, well, I know what you're saying, but when you're talking to home theater people, investing is something else. It's like, that means a lot. It changes things dramatically because if you're talking a sound bar, that's not an investment because a sound bar is one done and that's it. And when it's outdated or broken, you have to buy another one. Investing in a home theater would be, you know, receiver, speakers, you know, basically going the separates route, and then you can upgrade from there where he already has a 65-inch TV. We're going to work on something that, you know, maybe he wants to do a soundbar. I don't know. He's still working it out. I told him to give me measurements of the room and stuff, so we're going to go from there. But really excited to be setting him up in this Dragon's Lair with his very first home theater. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I have an idea. If his budget comes in around what would be appropriate for my idea, I'm really excited for him. If not, we'll go with something else. And I set up somebody recently with a soundbar situation and rear channel speakers that they're very happy with. So I can set them up in that situation. But either way, he's going to have he has a Dragon's Lair. It's called the Dragon's Lair. That's the man cave in his house. I think it's a fantastic name. Ever since he said the name, I don't know how long ago I heard him say it on the podcast, listening to him, I was very jealous. Fantastic name because I remember the show, the game show for kids. I remember the video game. And I even mentioned on Twitter earlier this week that it has Dragon's Lair has a home theater, the video game that is, has a home theater tie-in because the technology that they used inside the video game at, you know, the stand-up video game, not the console for home, but the arcade video game was Laserdisc format. They actually used a Laserdisc to play the scenes. And that's how they got the And that was in 1983. And that when I had learned that later in the 80s, I was like, oh, I knew I want, you know, that just another thing. I'm like, because I was learning about Laserdiscs, learning about home theater. And I'm like, Dragon Slayer, that's why their video games look so good. So I always thought that was pretty cool. All right, moving along. BJ Horton, 2005. BJ, I agree, everyone. If you are into Apple Plus Show Foundation, then check out the official Foundation podcast. Very cool. DJ has mentioned it a few times, perhaps in both podcasts, and it is a must. Yes, BJ, you are correct. I have mentioned it in both podcasts. I love the show, obviously, as I said earlier. But yeah, the podcast is really great. And if you're into the show and you can't get hooked on the show and the podcast after listening to that first podcast and listening to Dave Goyer talk about his relationship with his father and getting him into the books, the Foundation books, then you just don't have a heart. But I really enjoy it, and it a lot of good behind the scenes in that. Everything has a meaning, everything has a purpose. I had another listener this week ask me what the end of my show, what that means, and someday I'll let you guys know what that Hey Fred is. But yeah, everything has a meaning, everything has a purpose, and it was fun. It's fun listening to that podcast because there's lines in the show that they just said, oh, that comes from this in my real life, and they fit it into the show, and it's really, really cool. A lot of fun. John Z, at Johnny Speakers, at Brightside HT. Good afternoon, DJ. Just a heads up to you and the listeners. Best Buy has a bunch of 4K movies on sale for $8 and $10, including some featured on the show, such as Scott Pilgrim and 300. I haven't featured Scott Pilgrim. I've talked about Scott Pilgrim here. People have mentioned it. I haven't done it as a podcast, but I definitely did 300. So, but for everybody, just go to Best Buy and start searching around on their website. $8 or $10 for 4K movies. You can't beat that. That's awesome. Thanks, John. Theo. Hey, buddy, Witcher Season 2, are you interested? And I replied, yes, very much, very much. I cannot wait for Season 2. I loved Season 1. And John and I watched it week after, or I think it just comes out at once, but we watched it and then we did a show on it over on Brightside Chat. And I absolutely loved the show. And then when we started talking about it in our show, he said, John told me that there was a map, quote unquote, map for the show because the time map and tells you like each episode, what time period they're in, because it jumps around back and forth. It goes to the future, goes to the past, goes to, you know, all back and forth. So it's not linear. And once I got that, I went back and watched the show again. And I enjoyed it even more because now things made sense to me. Characters actually made sense, more sense to me, which is funny to say because how do you enjoy a show if now I'm saying this stuff made sense to me? But it was so well done. The acting was so, so good. And I was so enthralled with the characters. There was things that I missed that it didn't even bother me. I didn't know I missed. I was a little confused here and there, but I was like, I wanted to see what happened here and here and here. Really enjoyed The Witcher Season 1. So I'm really looking forward to Season 2. And I'm hoping it's a little more linear, but I have no problem with it. And it's actually prepared me because of what we went through with Season 1. Foundation's a lot like that. A lot of jumping back and forth. And they say that in the podcast for Foundation, that time is a character on the show. And this show, the story takes place over 1,000 years. And to show you the scope of it, instead of going linear and starting at the beginning and then and showing you the end, they actually jump back and forth hundreds of years, sometimes 50 years, sometimes 36 years. I can't remember what episode I'm on right now, but yeah. It's it just opens your mind, opened my mind to being like, hey, okay, just pay attention. Things aren't, you know, as you might assume, it's not always linear. So a lot of fun, a lot of fun. Looking forward to season two of The Witcher. Charles DM'd me. I won't give his full name or his, he has a private account on Twitter, but he emailed me or DM'd me and he said, hey man, love the podcast. I used to be a custom installer and we were a Kaleidoscape dealer. During your interview with Brett, it brought me back to the days of installing, and it reminded me of a feature that I always thought was cool, but was not mentioned on the podcast. I don't know if they still do this, but they used to create a custom intro screen for your theater that would play before the movie would start. I always thought that was a nice touch and was not sure if you were aware if they did this or still offered it. Keep up the great job with the podcast. And thanks, Charles. I will keep up a great job. I'll try. I will make every effort to keep up the great podcast, to keep up the job. Ugh, easy for me to say. It's getting late in the day. But yes, I do remember. I totally remember that they had a custom open for your movies, because that was another reason. And I didn't remember it until Charles said something. And I was like, yeah, I do remember that, because that was another reason I wanted, but I couldn't afford that. I don't know if they do it now. I have been in communications with Brett. We talk back and forth still, and he will be coming back on fairly soon, hopefully. It's really up to our schedules. It's like we'd probably talk every day if we could. He loves to talk home theater. So I have some other questions for him. This will be another one for him. If they're not doing it now, I'm wondering if we could get them to do it, because I think people would like that, especially if they just offered it, if they could do it and then just, you know, they sell it to you or just say, hey, would you like this let's get it back if they're not doing it. But anyways, I do also remember, does anybody else out there remember when you used to be able to order a DVD to go in front of your movies? Like, so you'd get like kind of like the THX trailers or the Dolby AC3 trailer that started before the movie, you know, where you had the train or the helicopter coming through the city. And it was, which they use now for the Atmos. There's an Atmos opening scene trailer, but there were websites that you used to be able to go to, and you used to be able to put your name in, and like I would be able to put in Briggs Family Theater or the Brightside Home Theater, and you could pick your custom open, and then they would send you a DVD and you could play that before your movies to give your room, your theater, that real cinema feel. The only difference was you either had to have two DVD players, or you'd have to get up, change the disc and put in the movie, hit the menu and start all again. So it wasn't very practical. And I believe when I was shopping for them, they were like $150 for that disc. And I never ended up doing it. I always wanted to, but I loved the idea with the Kaleidoscape where it was just automatic. And it just became part of every time you started a movie, you got that intro screen. So I thought that was pretty cool. So hopefully they still do that, but doesn't seem like something too difficult for them to bring back. That's for sure. Okay, next up, G. Cornell talking about the Crow podcast I did with Tom last week. He says, still have the Laserdisc. Wouldn't want to play it again as it's only 480p. The player conked out around the time DVD was starting. How convenient. I actually, G. Cornell, I actually have that Laserdisc as well. That was fantastic. As I said with Tom, I loved listening to the audio commentary on that Laserdisc. It was, back then, I had time to listen to audio commentary all the time. And that one I listened to over and over, especially with the history of it. Speaking of that, the history, Tom and I, we recorded that podcast on a Thursday night. So that would have been a couple of weeks ago. It was the next morning. So it literally, as we were recording, was when everything went down with Alec Baldwin, with the shooting. And I woke up the next morning and like 6 a.m. here. And I texted Tom and I was like, have you seen this? I was like, what? We were just talking about that the night before. And if you notice in that podcast, Tom and I didn't really touch on the shooting in the Crow too much. We touched on it a little bit, but we didn't get into all of the detail and all of the stuff that happened. I don't even know if we mentioned the new protocols that go on in Hollywood, which I'm very familiar with because I was big into the Crow and big into everything that happened to Brandon Lee and how big of a deal that was. And then we do our podcast on the Crow, which I don't think it's a coincidence. It's just coincidental, but it's not that big of a deal because it's around Halloween. This is what's happening. So that's why we were talking about it. But then to have that shooting coming right around this time and it's been, I think they said it's like 30 years or something it's been 30 years since Brandon Lee's shooting. And it's just really sad. But to wake up the next morning after having just reminisced about it with Tom, about everything that went on with the Crow, and then, wow, it's like, here we go again. And it's really sad, really sad when that stuff happens. So I think I talked about it with John on Brightside Chat, but I don't know if I mentioned it to you guys yet. So, all right. Next up, actually, I'm going to save this last one here. Let me jump ahead. Theo commented on YouTube. Great show, as always. Fun and entertaining. Thank you very much. And this one from Gurinder. I have heard a lot of good things about those Lumigens in the past, other than the price. I hear a lot about them for calibration. Glad to hear you are having a good experience with it. I will try and get the timestamp from Black Widow for tonight. Plan is to watch Poltergeist tonight, the new version with the older kids. In a few years, we'll watch the real version, 1982. I hear that the old one may be a bit too much for the kids, and there was controversy over them achieving a PG-13 rating. And I got that email. And I said, wait a minute. It's like, so in 1982, here's what the controversy was, for those of you that don't know about Poltergeist. There was no PG-13 in 1982. I'm pretty sure, and I didn't look this up since I got that, because I actually asked my wife about it. She goes, no, yeah, I'm pretty sure you're right. It was just PG. And that's what the controversy was. Like, it was scary, but it's totally a PG-13 movie, but it was only PG back then. And if I remember correctly, this was one of the movies that they used as an example on why we needed to get to a PG-13 and add those new levels in. Cause when I was a kid, it was just G, PG, and R. And then they added in the PG-13, NC-17, all of that came later in the mid 80s. So the fact that the original Poltergeist was only PG, and my mother wouldn't let me see it back then. So the PG back then in the early days was literally parental guidance. We didn't have to give you an age. It's up to the parent, you know? So that's the way they left it. And now they put a age date on it for you to guess, for the parents to guide you. But yes, as far as the Lumigens, yeah, you do hear about a lot of them with calibration, but it's a misconception the way I see it. It's like a lot of people, I was reading, like, it's good to get it to calibrate your projector. It's the wording that I've seen in listening to people or reading about people before I bought mine, that's kind of what makes it a little bit convoluted. People misunderstand what the Lumigen is doing. A Lumigen, once you get it in, especially in the situation I have where it's very simple, it's literally run between my receiver and my projector, one input, one HDMI in, one HDMI out, both at the 18 gigahertz. And it actually processes everything. So what my calibrator did is he came in and he shut down everything on my projector, made it all, like, it doesn't even do HDR processing anymore. It does HDR, but it's not, processing it. It's not tone mapping. It's not doing anything. The Lumigen does everything. It what you, and you set the Lumigen up exactly for what your projector is capable of, and then it just does the math and knows everything and just puts it all out. But it's good to have a calibrator do it. You can do it yourself. Even my calibrator said I could have talked you through this and you wouldn't have had a problem with it. But I was glad he came out to actually tweak my projector a little bit. I'm not really sure you use them for calibration, but you use them to, it, you just know once it's set up and it's calibrated, you know that you're getting the best that you can get. If that's the, it's, I'm not sure if it's a calibrating tool. It's basically like just to get your projector to the max it can do. All right, let's see. Okay. Finished Poltergeist. Next email. He says he finished the new Poltergeist. Wasn't scary at all. Few jump scares, but nothing much. I think he's going to move on to the old one now that and see how scary that one is. But this is another one that he says, no, Gurinder said this, and it's funny, this one came in, I just recently had this conversation with Todd Anderson that you'll hear about next week, and basically, so Gurinder says, another home theater thing, I can't unsee the texture from my screen in bright white parts of the image anymore. I sit about 10 feet away and can see the screen texture on bright white parts of images. I remember seeing it for the first time half a year ago or so when we were watching Spies in Disguise. Will Smith's character had a bright white shirt on and it looked textured. Initially, I thought it was a textured shirt, but then I realized it was the screen pattern. It is a visible less than 1% of the time, but it always ends up bothering me now. It is an acoustically transparent screen. Yep. And that's what can happen with an acoustically transparent screen. And this is a conversation that Todd and I get into. He actually asked my opinion on them, and I won't get into it because it'll ruin the suspense of that podcast. But you guys know my feeling on acoustically transparent screens. I'm not a big fan of them. I had one, but I'm not a big fan of them because why? What do you need them for? If you can get away with not having one, I think that's the better route. And that's what my projector guy taught me. He's like, what are you doing here? And I talk more about it with Todd, but that's the thing with an acoustically transparent screen is there is a texture. There is a compromise there. It's not going to be 100%. And like in this case of Gurinder, being able to, even if it's just 1% of the time, you just know it in your head and that can kind of take you out of it. You get a bright scene, you'll be like, instead of being in the scene, you're now going to be looking, do I see the texture? Do I see the texture? And that's what happened to me with the crushing blacks. And it's like, it was bothering me, so I needed a fix for that because every time a scene went to really dark, it took me out of the scene and it was bothering me. Well, it's the same thing here. If you can get away with moving your speakers below the screen or to the sides of the screen, even if they're off by just a little bit, one way or the other, you're going to make a compromise. So which is the better compromise? And in my opinion, it's the sound, because we have great, you know, EQ systems that can balance that stuff out. Our brains are better at putting the sound to where we think it's going to be. Even if you have to move it, you know, your speakers below the screens and stuff, you're better at tricking your ears than you are at tricking your eyes. And especially like in Gurinder's case, once you see that texture, it's like when somebody tells you, hey, do you hear that noise in the room? And you didn't hear it, but now you can't unhear it. And all it does, and it's just bugging you. And like my wife's done it to me and she's like, yeah, that's been going for like a week. I'm like, I've never heard it, but now I can't unhear it. So thanks for that. But yeah, same thing. You pay all this money to build this and everything. And then all of a sudden you get that and it's like, oh, and like I said, and there's other factors too that I get into with Todd. So it was funny. I got this email right after I talked to Todd. Now I said to Gurinder, I'm like, are you listening to me? So, and the timestamp on that Black Widow. So he had mentioned a few weeks ago about Black Widow And at the end of the movie, and the timestamp is 2 hours, 1 minute, 29 seconds. And it's the scene when they're all separating. So Black Widow's going to stay behind. Scarlett Johansson's character is going to stay behind. Her sister and her quote unquote father are getting into the helicopter, and they're going to take away. And one, or maybe it's the jet, and the jet goes to take away. And that when it takes off in the middle of the screen. And if you started at 2 hours, 1 minute, 29, or maybe it's 20 seconds, but you'll see the part. It takes off at the, in the middle of your screen, and you can hear it, and it's right locked on the screen, but it's actually locked, but further away, like deep into the screen. And then as it starts to take off, it comes at you, but to the right of your screen. So the sound goes from like your center channel further away. And as it gets closer, the sound gets stronger on the right side and then whooshes past you. It is a really good scene. And it's not one that would blow you away. But what I really like about it is it's got so much detail in it. And that's what I love about like Gurinder doing this. It's like, thank you very much, because you're doing what I love, what I like to point out. It's like, yes, all these movies have great bass and they have great explosions, but it's these fun little intricate details that are meant just for us, just for the home theater fans. And this one here at the, you know, 2 hour, 1 minute and 20 second mark, where you hear that jet right in the, locked in the middle, but then it goes right down the right side of your room, and how it progresses that way is really, really cool. So that was really nice. And this one here from Carl, email from Carl, and Carl says, "We wanted blood. We expected carnage. Extremely disappointed that Tom didn't at least pull a Lou Reed with Terry Gross after the first two questions with, 'This isn't working out,' and just hung up the phone." meaning, I guess my first two questions to Tom weren't very exciting to Carl, but he says, no. He says, "Seriously, wonderful conversation. I have seen The Crow once, the opening weekend back in the old, now closed Dolby Theater in Austin. I think we were in line an hour or so. Excellent picture, but due to Lee's death, I just never had the mental energy to revisit it again. Brandon's death just really affected me too much. I'm still hesitant to revisit it now. Wonderful to learn more about the history of AV Rent as well. I think I have been listening for 8 years. I'm still stunned Tom didn't do Laserdisc back in the day. Columbia House even had a fantastic cheap membership option I always took advantage of." I didn't do that one. I don't know why I didn't do Columbia House Laserdisc. I don't know if I didn't know about it and learned about it too late. But I did remember hearing about it anyways. But yeah, I was the opposite, Carl, with Brandon Lee's death. I wanted to see it over and over. I wanted to like kind of honor him and see that over and over, because it affected me too. And I don't even remember if I mentioned this in the podcast with Tom, but I remember when I can't remember the actor's name, but the show, it was a TV show from 1984, and the actor died. He shot himself. They were playing Russian roulette on the set, and he put the gun to his temple and it went off, and that can even kill you. And it wasn't a bullet. It was just, you know, what your paper wad, they said, or it's just the pressure of the gunshot going off, but it killed him on that show. And it was Undercover, I think the show was. It was about a woman who was, she was a photographer and she took the models on these trips, but they were like, you know, covert operations. So that's how they got in. And he was supposed to be the quote sexy model. And that's, but he was actually like a former Marine or Navy SEAL or something. And that's, they went around the world and rescued people. I loved the show, and I felt bad when the guy got killed, got shot. So then when Brandon Lee died, I was like, oh my God. And that was only not even, that was like 10 years later, if that. And you know, you see how often it was, or that was kind of really close together, and it, that one bothered me. And of course you had, you, Brandon's dad, you know, Bruce Lee killed on a set, and it's just everything. It was just really, really tough. But, yeah, I know you wanted blood. You wanted carnage in the podcast we're talking about. So that was a bad segue right there. But Tom and I were planning on bringing out some blood and carnage in the next one. We're going to try to argue about something Not that we can really argue, because we both can see the other side. But yeah, I love talking to Tom. We have so much fun. And it again, when we stopped recording, we talked even more. And it's like, he's so funny. Great, great guy. All right. The last email that I saved for the end. So this one, I'm not going to read the entire email, but this is from BJ Horton. He emailed us. He actually gave me his full name, so I'll leave it private unless he wants to. But he emailed me, Rob, and Tom, and he's basically in the process of building a theater in his home, in his garage. And he sent some pictures along, and he gave us the description of what he's doing. And for all intents and purposes, by the end of the email, I was kind of like, I felt bad. And he even said, he says in his email, he goes, he's stuck in like analysis paralysis, and he's just stuck. And he's at the beginning of the project. And if I remember, I'm looking at the email right now. It was a long email, but I think he started this, the idea of this in 2010. But it's such a big project. And here was my advice to him. And he wants to do, he's doing it himself, but he's got ideas and he's got the equipment. I basically said, set it up in the room, raw. I put your speakers on boxes, put a couch or a chair in the middle, put the TV on a box and just sit there in the room, set it up and enjoy your theater. Enjoy that content. And then build the room around you. As a wall gets finished, you can install that speaker on that wall, and you'll be like, okay, well, that's a little off because the other wall is still on a box. But as the room progresses, you're still able to, one, enjoy your content, and two, as the room comes together, things will start to sound better. And I gave him some examples of when I built mine, and when I built, it took me about 6 weeks to build my room, 6 or 7 weeks. And almost from day one, my equipment was set up in to a degree so that I could enjoy it. Even if I only had my front three channels and a 32-inch TV until the 65-inch got delivered. All of this that's part of the motivation. At least it was for me. And again, this is just my advice. A lot of people like, you know, that's fine. Do it your way. But this is supposed to be fun. And if you just keep sitting there looking at each and every step that you have to do and think, all right, well, I'll get to it tomorrow. Well, those days add up. And next thing you know, it's been a year, 2 years. And it's like, this project's going to take me forever. So what's one more day to wait? Well, like I just said, those days add up. But if your system is sitting there, you'll start to neaten up around them a little bit, or you'll be like, you know what? I want to get that wall done today. So you can even put your system on and work on that wall. And there's so much you can do that can motivate you. And it's funny. So we talked back and forth a little bit, and he even said to me, he's like, he goes, poor Rob, he's talking to Rob too. And Rob has ideas for equipment. Of course, that's what they do. And so they're going back and forth with him. And I feel like I'm the motivator. I'm the one keeping him in the positive. Keep thinking positive, BJ. Keep thinking this is fun. And he even said that. He's like, my podcast is what he's living vicariously through this podcast, because he doesn't have the system to enjoy everything the way he wants to. So he just listens to me. But yes, set your system up. And so anyways, he says, I like that idea. So he went out and he taped off on one of the walls. It's a garage. So on the garage door, he taped off the area for the TV, the 65-inch TV, and he used blue tape. And it's funny because I said to him, I go, I did the exact, and I hadn't told him this part yet, but I did the exact same thing when I built my theater. I moved into this house in December of 2001, December 5th. And I want to say on December 6th, I went downstairs. I already knew the dimensions of the TV. I knew the inside dimensions of the screen and everything. And I went downstairs, and in blue painter's tape on the foundation, I taped off where the TV would go, centered on that wall, where that wall would be, even factoring in that the wall would come a little bit further off the foundation on one side. I knew this wall would be here. Everything was to the exact specifications of what it would be, with the exception that once I started building the room, it was actually easier to put that TV on the opposite side, opposite wall, which is where it is now. So, but yes, I did the same thing. And as a matter of fact, I think it's still there. I know when I bought my 4K projector and I redid the entire rear wall, I ripped out the old wall and I put in basically a 6-inch wall of acoustically transparent cloth with 6 inches of insulation on my back wall. So to pull out the old wall and do that, now I could see the foundation and that blue tape was still there. And I'm pretty sure I left it there. Most of it might still be there because I'm like that and I don't, you know, I want it to be there. But it's those little things that will motivate you. Even just seeing that on your garage door, BJ, when you go downstairs and you'll be like, huh, oh yeah, we got to get on that. And you'll sit there and it'll get you going. And like I said, setting up your theater, I don't care. Even if the speaker wire is all over the floor and you're just running, who cares? It's a construction zone. Put up a sign under construction like we all do and just have fun. Even if that's like, you know what? I don't feel like doing anything today. I'm going to put this movie in. And in that crappy environment, because it's not done yet, you enjoy a movie. Because I also told BJ, and I know I've said it on this podcast, the day my TV got delivered back in 2001, actually it was 2002, January, by the time it showed up, the first thing I watched, my room wasn't done, so I'm allowed to watch anything else because I knew when the room was done and completed, I was going to watch Star Wars. I sat on not even a spackled wall yet, because I couldn't spackle it until the TV was in because the hole was there and I had to make sure everything fit right. TV got delivered, put the wall all up in front of it, ready to go. Me and my buddy sat down on 2 upside down 5-gallon buckets on my riser and watched on a 5.1 system at the time, and actually 7.1. 7.1 system at the time, we watched The Fast and the Furious, the entire movie. You want to talk about echoes. There wasn't a carpet in the room. There wasn't anything. There's not even paint on the walls. There was just the only thing sound absorbing in that room was us in our clothes. The sound was awful, but we had a blast. It was fun. And it's like, and you're like, wow, look at this. And back then for me, a 65-inch TV, that was a huge deal. So that's what these things are about. Just have fun with it. Go to town, enjoy the content while you're doing it, and just have fun, because that's what we're here for. And that's what it is. And keep the emails coming, BJ. Really appreciate it. And, you know, I know, you know, it's tough. It's a long road, but enjoy the journey. And I'll be more than happy to help you get through the journey. We'll talk about it the whole time. It'll be a lot of fun. So thanks for the emails. And everybody, thank you for all the emails, all the comments this week. Just while I was talking, I know I missed some. I know people have commented about Tom. I know people. So I don't know what happened. Busy at the end of the week. Maybe I dropped the ball, but comment during the week. We will talk about it next Tuesday. This week, anniversary show. It's my 2-year anniversary on Friday. Talking with John. Great conversation. We have a lot of fun, much like Tom and I. And then the following week, I have another great home theater conversation. So hope you guys enjoy those. That's Todd Anderson next week. Hope you guys enjoy those. Have a great week, everybody. Thank you to everybody on Twitter. Thank you to all my Patreon supporters. And everybody, thank you very much for listening and all the great comments. I'll talk to you guys. Well, you'll hear me on Friday, and I'll talk to you next Tuesday. Now, go push play.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.